Praise God, praise God. If you'd remain standing for just a moment. Thank you, Brother Mullins. Thank you for the good leadership that you are giving to the Western District. It's a joy to be here with you. Appreciate you very much, Brother Cantrell, the District Secretary, and all the board members. Got a wonderful district board, and I count it an honor to be here with you tonight. And then the Brother Wilson and all the committee that is worked so hard for this camp meeting. It's obvious there's been a lot of hard work and labor of love that's gone in toward this camp, and I appreciate all of their good work so much. Today was a wonderful day. I enjoyed it. My, it was good. Brother Fraley led the service so capably and well. Brother Dominguez preached to us a marvelous sermon, then capped the day off. Brother Mark Morgan, dear friend of a long time, I love and appreciate Brother Morgan. Appreciate his ministry and what a blessing it was today. And everybody said amen. It's just great to be in the house of the Lord. And they said last night, this tent is the house of the Lord, so we're just going to worship God. This is God's house. This is a place of worship. Amen. Amen. And then to be here with all of the other good folks that are here, Brother Will Banks and his family, and they blessed us many times. And then this good Pearland Choir, Brother Ken Gurley. God bless you, Brother Gurley. It's good to see you. And that choir was wonderful. Beautiful singing. Beautiful singing. And Brother Tim Spell, and his singing, just awesome. So it's just a great place to be in. And then to have Brother Larson take up the offering. I tell you, y'all got a lot of tall preachers in this district. Man, I tell you, Brother Larson, big guy. He told me one time he was 5 feet, 19 inches tall. Wasn't that what you said? Yeah. Brother Larson and Brother Booker and Brother Frost. I don't know, maybe some more. Man, you got some big men around here. They have big men take the offering. If you don't want to give, why, they'll pull a little rank on you. It's great to be here with all of you, all the great preachers of this district and saints. God bless you. It's good to know the Lord, isn't it? How many are happy you're a child of God tonight? Oh, yes. Praise God, praise God. And I realize there's a marvelous move of God here tonight. I don't want to miss God's will. There's a good flow of the Holy Ghost in this service. And I want to be in the will of God. And I can preach or not preach. It doesn't matter to me. I've been around long enough that if I don't preach some night, that's fine. If God wants to take over, I'll flow with that. I read here a while back where the Lord's Prayer only has 56 words in it. 56 words. The Gettysburg Address has 266 words. Paul's Sermon on Mars Hill had 289 words. The Ten Commandments has 297 words. The Declaration of Independence has 300 words. And then compare that to a recently published U.S. government order setting the price of cabbage. It was 26,911 words. Just to set the price of cabbage. From the U.S. Government. Took 26,911 words. Praise God. That's a lot of words. When you consider the Lord's Prayer was only 56 words. And I realize that talk is cheap, but we want to hear from God. We want to hear what the Lord says. How many want to know what the Lord says? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Let's open our Bibles tonight to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 7. Isaiah chapter number 7 and verse number 17. Chapter 7 and verse number 17. The Lord shall bring upon thee and upon thy people and upon thy father's house days that have not come from the day that Ephraim departed from Judah, even the king of Assyria. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall hiss for the fly that is in the uttermost part of the rivers of Egypt and for the bee that is in the land of Assyria. They shall come and shall rest all of them in the desolate valleys and in the holes of the rocks upon all thorns and upon all bushes. And in that same day shall the Lord shave with the razor that is hired, namely by them beyond the river, by the king of Assyria, the head and the hair of the feet, and it shall also consume the beard. Now tonight, I want to talk to you for a little while. It may change the pace of the service just a little. However, I want us all to stay in the Spirit of God, because I feel like that God has spoken to me, and I hope that He'll speak through me tonight. I realize after over 40 years of preaching that I'm absolutely nothing without the Lord. I'm not up here to try to display how good a preacher I am. I want God to talk to me, and then I want to be a mouthpiece for God. Amen. Hallelujah. I want God to speak to us in this house tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Bishop Price, it is so good to see you. One of the great, great, great men that I have ever known. It's a delight to see you and Sister Price. God bless you. I want our superintendent to come and pray. Brother Mullins, would you come and pray? And my subject is from verse number 20. I want to talk about tonight God's hired raiser. God's hired raiser.
Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, God, we stand at this place in life, in your service, in your kingdom, knowing how desperately we are dependent on direction from your word, from your spirit. God, we plead your blood tonight over this congregation, over your preacher. God, we pray the mantle of your anointing on him. Lord, give us ears to hear. You looked to this hour and saw not a hunger of bread or a thirst for water, but a famine, not for the preaching, but for the hearing of the word. God, as you touch this preacher, would you touch us? God, let us hear. Lord, put it in our heart tonight. Bind and rebuke the devourer. Don't let him steal it from us. Lord, as it's being ministered, God, touch us with your word. Come on, folks, pray right now. Touch us with your word, God. Without faith, we can't please you. And our only source of faith is hearing the word. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name tonight. Amen.
Let's clap our hands to the Lord right now. Hallelujah. Amen, 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 amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated, and God bless you tonight. When I was just a boy in Missouri, raised on the farm, when I was just a lad, I remember in those days they had what they called the razor strap. Does anybody else remember the razor strap? Yeah. Got a few that's been acquainted with the razor strap. Amen. And in those days, they didn't have electric razors. There was no such thing as an Norelco or Remington razor. Back in the part of the country on the farm where I was, I don't think they even had Gillette blades for sale. But they had a razor, straight razor, and there was a strap that they'd use to kindly sharpen that thing up with. And that wasn't the only purpose for that razor strap. That razor strap had at least one more purpose. And that was, in our house, there was four boys. And any time you get four boys together, you got a problem. But my dad always had a razor strap and left it hanging right there on the wall. Now, we didn't have nice houses in those days. We didn't have the den and the living room and the dining room, the kitchen, the sitting room, the bedroom, and the master bedroom and all that. I'm telling you, we just kind of mixed it all up and just wherever you could be. That's the way it was. You remember those days. But there in the room that you'd call the living room back on the farm, they call it the front room, because it's the first one you walked into. And there in that front room, if you please, hanging on a nail in a very convenient location, was a razor strap. It was there as a constant reminder to four boys that they'd better do right. Now, I remember my mom. With mom, it was a different story. Mama, I never did see her use a razor strap. But Mama had a little old switch that she got off of a tree out in the yard. And I remember those switches as well as, you know, as if it was just yesterday. Mama never did use that razor strap, but she knew how to use that switch, and that thing could hurt. I'm telling you, it didn't look like much of a lethal weapon, but it was, it would sting and hurt, and it'd leave its mark. And, of course, that razor strap, those switches, was for my three brothers. You understand that? It was not for me. It was for my three brothers. They were the ones that really needed it. I felt like, you know. Amen. Then I started school, got in school, and I used to have a teacher by the name of Mr. Moody. I'll never forget Mr. Moody. Mr. Moody kept a paddle laying right on his desk. That was back in the days when they paddled children. Living in changing days, aren't we? I wonder sometimes if it wasn't a little better time to live in when there was a little bit of discipline and correction that was given in the homes. We've adopted Dr. Spock's theory and some other people's theory about raising children. I tell you, when you look around, generally in the world, it's not working too well. There's a lot of young people that's doing a lot of things that's displeasing to God. And back when I was a boy, you had a daddy and mama that would give a little discipline and correction. I'm not talking about child abuse. I'm talking about parents who love their kids and who love them enough to correct them when they did wrong. Praise God. I think we still need some parents that love their kids enough to discipline or correct when they're wrong. And somebody say amen. I know this is the year 2000. I know it's a different day and a different time, but we're still faced with the same human nature. Human nature is still the same. Human nature hasn't changed. My good friend that's been dead for many years, Brother Winfred Black, used to say that no matter where you go, people are the same. He said only the names and faces are different. People are the same, and basically, human nature hasn't changed over the last 30 or 40 or 50 years. Praise God. But Mr. Moody, when he would spank somebody in their class, he would then write their name on that paddle. Very small letters, but visible. He would write your name on that paddle, and then he'd hang it up there, even leave it on the desk for everybody to see. I remember one time somebody did something that he didn't like. He was sitting at his desk, one of the boys in the back row, back seat back there in the classroom. They shot a paper wad right off of his head. And it skidded off his head, and he didn't take very kindly to that. And he tried to find out who the culprit was, and when nobody would volunteer that they had done it, he said, I'll take care of all of you, all the class line up, and he whipped every one of us. Praise God. That was Mr. Moody's way. You said that was a long time ago. Yeah, that was a long time ago. But I'm going to tell you, in those days, years ago, they had the razor strap. They had the switch. They had the paddle. Or perhaps other forms of discipline and correction. Amen. And America was probably better off in many ways in those days than it is tonight. Now you say, Brother Godai, I believe in love. I do too. You know, God's Word is full of love. The Word of God is filled with love. And John 3:16 said, For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I thank God that He loved us when we were lost. I thank God that He loved us when we were unlovable. The Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. The Bible said, there's none righteous, no, not one. The Scripture says that all we, like sheep, have gone astray, and has turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Everybody in this building tonight was born with a sinful Adam nature.
Amen. Somebody testified in our church here a while back, and they said, I've loved God all my life. And I said, no, you haven't. You haven't loved God all your life. None of us have loved God all of our life. Brother, we're born with an Adam nature. We're born with a fallen nature. We are born with a depraved nature. We're born with a sinful nature. Hallelujah. And it takes God to change the heart. You can join every church in California. You can shake preacher's hand. You can walk the aisle. You can sign the church card. You can do all of those things. But you'll never be right with God until the Spirit of God comes in and transforms your life. The Bible says that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things pass away, and all things are become new. We all have that Adam sinful nature. You can say, I've done a lot of good things, but friend, all of our righteousness is as filthy rags in the sight of God. You're trying to go to heaven on your good deeds and works. You can't do it. Now let me be quick to say that when you obey what this Bible says, that's not your works. When the Bible says repent, when the Bible said get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins and be filled with the Holy Ghost, that's not your works. That's obedience to the Word of God. Amen. If you're trying to feed the hungry and think that'll save you, that's not salvation. If you're trying to clothe the needy, that's not salvation. If you pull somebody out of a ditch at 2 o'clock in the morning, that's a noble thing, but that's not salvation. Jesus said you must be born again, and except we're born of the water and of the Spirit, we cannot enter in the kingdom of God. The new birth is not optional. Hallelujah. You must be born again. And when I say born again, I mean baptized in Jesus' name. I'm talking about getting filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. When you're born again, it'll change your life. When you're born again, it'll change your nature. When you're born again, you become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. But no matter how deeply in sin you may have gone, there is a grace that is available to you tonight. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. You know why? We're looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom. Yeah? Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Amen. Ever since Adam sinned, the human race fell into sin. And all of us have had a sinful nature. Somebody said, what kind of fruit was that? Was it an apple? They're always saying in Sunday school class, Adam ate the apple off the tree. I heard one preacher say one time, it wasn't the apple on the tree that was the problem. It was the pear on the ground. Amen. That was the real problem. Amen. But all of us are born with sinful nature. Glory to God. I believe God has the ability to change your nature. God can change the alcoholic. God can change the drug addict. God can change the adulterer. God can change the fornicator. God can change those that are filled with immorality. God can transform your life. God can make you a new creature. Hallelujah. 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 I thank God for the power of the Holy Ghost that's still changing lives in the year 2000. Hallelujah. Found on the words of an insane, if you'd call it that, a mental home, or as they used to call them, an insane asylum, but found on the words, scratched on the words of this place where people went that had mental disturbance. There was a young man in there that wrote that. He was a patient in this mental hospital, and somebody found where he had written these words: "Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the sky a parchment made, and every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe a trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the whole contain the scroll, though stretched from sky to sky." Pretty profound to be found written on the walls of a place where the mental people, people with mental problems go. But I'm going to tell you, friend, there's nothing like the love of God. There's nothing so powerful as the love of God. Hallelujah. God has been good to me. When I was a sinner, God was good to me. I didn't come to an altar, Brother Mullins, the first chance I had, and God gave me another chance, and then another, and then another. Aren't you glad tonight that God gave you an opportunity and kept dealing with your heart to be saved? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Very few of us came to God the first time we ever went to church. Very few of us repented of our sins the first chance we ever got to go to the altar. Very few of us got the Holy Ghost in the first apostolic church that we ever attended. But God has been faithful. Hallelujah. The Bible talks about Jonah, how that God spoke to him. And then I noticed where he said that God spoke to Jonah again the second time. I'm glad that God is a second time God. And I'm glad God still loves backsliders. Hallelujah. I don't know how you feel, but there's probably enough backsliders in almost every town in California that if you'd win them back to God, you'd have a revival on your hands. You say, Brother Godere, the backslider won't live for God. In the last 3 years, I've seen numerous backsliders come back to God, and they're committed, and they're faithful, and they're loving God. I want to tell you, we need a revival of our backslidden boys, our backslidden daughters, our backslidden parents, our backslidden husband. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I tell you that God is not going to give up on one of them, and the church should not give up. I feel in the Holy Ghost right now that somebody ought to pray for a backslidden child of yours right now. Come on, somebody's got a backslider in your family, and you love them and you care for them. Don't give up on them. The devil says quit praying for them. The devil says they're no good. The devil says they can't make it. But God says they can and they will if there's a praying church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost anointing here tonight. I believe God's Spirit is able to reach out from under this tent and convict the heart of our relatives, our loved ones that are lost without God. Who is it that's got a loved one that's lost tonight? Will you stand in the gap and make up the hedge? Will you be the intercessor? Will you be the one that seeks God for them? Somebody shout hallelujah. You may be seated for a moment. I feel like encouraging some preacher tonight. I want to tell you that I had a brother, Brother Larson, that was in the church as a boy. And then he backslid and got out of the church. Brother Morgan, you know him. And Buddy got out of the church. And he's a talented musician. And he started playing in nightclubs. He eventually played piano for Johnny Cash and several what you call big name player singers and so on. And he was away from the church for 20 years. Praise God. But 2 years ago, last Thanksgiving, 2 years ago on Thanksgiving night, Buddy had been drinking, he was smoking, he was cursing, he was living immoral, he was doing everything in the book that was wrong, but he walked into the church that night a broken man. And he said, I need some help. And thank God there was a church there that was ready to pray for him. Buddy, that's been 2.5 years, and Buddy's in church tonight. He's living for God. He's playing music in church. Hallelujah! I feel like telling some preacher, don't let your kid go to hell. Stand in there and say, bless God, I'm claiming their salvation. I feel right now in the spirit that the devil's been talking to at least one that I'm feeling in the spirit right now. One man and his wife, and the devil's trying to neutralize you and saying, well, if your own kid's going to hell, how can you help others? And it sort of neutralized your approach. I want to tell you, get back in that pulpit, preacher, and preach with the anointing of God. And pray until that wayward son or daughter comes back to the house of God. I feel the anointing here tonight. God is a God of love. God is a God that's patient. God is a God of long suffering. God is a God that is kind. And that kindness is being bestowed upon us tonight. Somebody shout amen. You may be seated. Ricky was backslidden 15 years out of our church. 15 years he was out of church. He'd come maybe on Easter, maybe Christmas, maybe. Not too often in those 15 years, maybe 10 times, I'm guessing, Brother Spell. And about almost two years ago now, Ricky walked in. I was out in my office and I was studying. And some of the men come and got me and said, Ricky Wills is around there in the prayer room praying. Praise God. He hadn't been in church in 15 years. Ricky Wills got the Holy Ghost, prayed through that night. And I want to tell you, it's been over 2 years now. And outside of vacation or working, he hasn't missed one single service. Hallelujah. And a year later, his wife was stubborn and said, I'm not going back to church. You'd see her in town with her shorts on, her pants on, and living every way in the world. But she said, I'm not going back to church. But I looked up one Sunday night about a year and a half ago, and I saw her walk in, and she stood on my right. Hallelujah. And before I ever got to give an altar call, she stood to her feet and lifted her hands, and God gloriously baptized her again with the power of the Holy Ghost. She's living for God tonight. I said she's living for God tonight. Hallelujah. I don't think we ought to give up on one soul. I don't think the church ought to give up on one soul. We don't need to relinquish any soul to the devil. And you know, you may be seated. You know what Ricky told me? Brother Wilson, when he came back in, he said, Brother Godare, the thing that impresses me the most, he said, this is the same church that I left 15 years ago. That's what he said. He said, I looked around when I come back and I prayed through and I looked around. And he said, I noticed that nothing's changed around here. Praise God. Hallelujah. He said, the women still have long hair and the boys still have short hair. And there's an absence of makeup, and they're all dressed holy. He said, I'm glad there was a church that was still here like the one I left 15 years ago. This is no time to compromise and sell out. It's a time to take your stand, dig your heels in the sand, and say, praise God, we're going to have revival. Hallelujah. Clap your hands with me. Hallelujah. Oh. I can't think of one single truth we need to give up or throw away. I believe it's time to hold on to truth. And by the way, you can do that and still have revival. Hallelujah. In recent weeks, there's been 132 baptized in Jesus' name in our church, and 137 have received the Holy Ghost. And we're not compromising on anything. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, we need to hold on the truth and still be red hot for revival. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said we need to love truth and still have a hot heart for revival. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When God dealt with Judah, he had been long-suffering. He had been patient and kind. Judah had gotten rebellious. They left God's will, and I'll make it brief. And they had left the will of God. They left the word of God. They left away from true, gone away from true worship. But God was so patient, and God was so kind. And I read today in Hosea chapter 4, verse 17. The Lord woke me up. I said it was the Lord. I felt like it was about 4 or 5 o'clock this morning, and put this verse of scripture in my heart. Hosea 4 and 17 said, Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. But then in the very few verses later, he said, how can I give you up, O Ephraim? Hallelujah. First God said, Ephraim, it joined idols. Let him go. But then even God said in a second part, no, how can I give thee up? How can I deliver thee, O Israel? How shall I make thee as Adma? How shall I get thee as a boy? And within my heart, my repentings, God said, my repentings are kindled together. You deserve to be lost. But God said, I'm going to give you one more chance. There'll come a time when God won't change his mind. There'll come a time when there won't be a second chance for Jonah. Every Jonah that runs away from God, there'll come a time you won't have a second chance. But thank God the door of mercy and grace and salvation is open tonight, and whosoever will may come. There's a revival among the whites and the blacks and the Spanish. Praise God, praise God. On a recent Sunday morning, we had 8 different countries represented in our Sunday morning service. I want to see a revival, and frankly, I don't care who it is. I don't care what color they are. I don't care what nationality they speak. I don't care where they came from. They may have come from the gutter, but God is able to save them and cleanse them. My God is a patient God. Long suffering of Noah and of God toward Noah. While he built an ark, maybe 120 years, working, building, laboring, inviting, working, laboring, inviting. Somebody said Noah wasn't a very good evangelist, but he was an excellent pastor. Praise God. I believe that. He wasn't too good evangelist. Praise God. He only got 8 people, and that was his own family. If you can save your own family, you're doing pretty good, honey. Hallelujah. When he got on the ark, it was he and his wife, and Ham, Shem, and Japheth, and their wives. 8 souls were saved in that hour, and everybody else was lost. I'm going to tell you something, friend. Only 8 souls got on there. His evangelistic fervor didn't bring in anybody but his own family. Praise God. Work on your family. I don't know why I feel this tonight. I feel it in the Holy Ghost. Pray for your sons. Pray for your daughters. Pray for your son-in-laws. Pray for your daughter-in-laws. Pray for your grandchildren. They're facing a different world, Grandpa and Grandma, than you faced when you was a child. Pray for them. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But I tell you what, Noah was a good pastor. When he got him on the ark, God shut the door. I don't read about anybody wanting to leave the ark. Praise God. My record's not that good. I've seen folks leave the church, and I've never rejoiced over one. It breaks the heart of any man of God when somebody leaves the church because you're severing yourself from your hope of salvation. I want to say tonight that the only way to be saved is through the church, which is the body of Christ. And the revival God's going to send in this hour is going to be through the local church. It's not going to be with the radio preacher or television evangelist. It's going to be with the local church. Hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. 8 souls on the ark. Nobody wanted to get off. And by the way, why would anybody want to leave the ark during the storm? Why would anybody want to leave the ark when the lightning is flashing and the thunder's rolling and the rains are coming and the storms are coming? Why would anybody want to leave the ark? I ask you tonight, sir, why would you want to leave the church? We're facing the biggest storm spiritually we've ever faced. It's a dark world. Why would you want to leave the church? If you ever were going to backslide, this is not the time to do it. Hallelujah. It's a time to get a grip on this and say, bless God. Hallelujah. Doesn't matter what comes or goes, I'm going to stay in the church. If the preacher says something I don't like, I'm going to stay in the church. If he says something against the grain, I'm going to stay in the church. If he offends my daughter, I'm going to stay in the church. If my son don't sing lead in the choir, I'm still going to stay in the church. Don't leave the ark during the storm. Don't leave the church right before its ascension to glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A statement in the book of Amos that I read today. God said, you have not returned unto me, saith the Lord. God said, I've tried. God, listen to what God said in the book of Amos. God said, I gave you prosperity and you wouldn't return to me. Then he said, I sent you famine and you still wouldn't return to me. God said, I let war come and you still wouldn't come to me. And then I gave you a time of peace and you still wouldn't come. God said, I let you have a good harvest and you still wouldn't come. And I sent pestilence among you and you still wouldn't come. God said, I gave rain for your crops, have a bountiful harvest, and you still wouldn't pray and get right with God. I withheld the rain and the drought came. And yet God said, you have not returned to me, saith the Lord. I want to tell you that some of the things that's coming on us in this hour is not coming of the devil. It's God trying to wake us up and get our attention. Hallelujah. You say, God's too good to send me to hell. God's not going to send you to hell, but you can send yourself there through your own disobedience, disregard for the word of God, and rebellion. Much of what comes to us is given by God to bring us to himself, to get our attention. And when God finally says, I've tried everything to get your attention, and you still won't come, then you leave me with no alternative but judgment. Somebody hear me tonight. There comes a time when God says, I've got to get their attention. There comes a time when God says, they won't listen to anything, and I've got to get their attention. Listen, it's God trying to wake somebody up in this Western District camp meeting tonight. Is there somebody here that's away from God? It's time to come back to God. Is there a backslider here? God's trying to get your attention. Is there somebody here that's cold in your soul and you're about half in and half out? And God says, if you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. And God's trying to get your attention tonight, friend. Brother Randy Keyes told me today, he just preached the camp meeting over in New Brunswick. My wife and I were there 4 years, 3 years ago, three or four, I don't know. It's been about 3 or 4 years. And it was on a Sunday night. It was the last night on the campground, New Brunswick. It was packed full and there's people standing around the walls. Church is dismissed for the Sunday night, last night of camp. They have a whole week of camp. They don't just have 4 or 5 nights. Most of them Canadians have 6 and 7 nights. Praise God. Hallelujah. I've been up there a few times, and I'd have to catch my breath in between about halfway. Glory to God. One night, I asked for a pinch hitter to come and preach for me. Let me catch my breath, and I'll come back tomorrow night. But I never will forget it. On the last night of the camp meeting, on a Sunday night, a big tall fellow, about like Brother Larson, he came and stood up over me, and he shook my hand. He said, "Reverend, you don't know me, do you?" I said, "No, I don't." He said, "You never saw me, have you?" I said, "I've never seen you in my life." He said, "I want to tell you something right now. You preached to me tonight. And I don't even recall the text. It wasn't this one. But he said, you preached to me tonight." I said, "How's that?" He said, "I told my wife on the way to church tonight." He said, "I've been in church for years, but I've been playing around, living on the edge." And he said, "I told my wife and kids in the car tonight, coming to church, I'm going to church tonight, and this is the last time, and don't ever ask me to go again. This is my last service." And somehow, Brother Larson, the Holy Ghost got a hold of him. And he said, "I want to tell you something, Reverend. You don't know me, but I pray through tonight, and for the first time in years, I spoke in tongues." And he said, "I just went over and hugged my wife, and I said, I'm not leaving the church. You can count on me staying in here." Hallelujah! Hallelujah! It's time to get your foot on the rock and your mind made up. For he that shall come will come and will not tarry. And he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it. He will finish it until the day of Jesus Christ. Hey, don't you quit. It's time to hold on. So now then, in my text tonight, God says, "I've tried everything. It hasn't worked. I've tried giving you good times and you wouldn't repent. And I've tried giving you bad times. And I've tried everything. And you won't pray and you won't repent. And you won't turn away from your worship of false and idol gods." So God said, "You left me with no other choice. In the same day shall the Lord shave with a razor that is hired." That's hired. God said, "Okay, it's time for me to get judgment." Now, when God says a razor, that's not talking about the old straight razor. I'm not talking about a Norelco. God said, "I'm going to have to hire a razor." I'm going to tell you, if you're a man here tonight, you ought to have your own razor. I'm talking naturally now. Praise God. It does a man good to get a shave and a haircut. I just thought I'd drop that in there. Praise God. Hallelujah. I said, God's people ought to look like God's people. I know a young man that's working for a Chevrolet dealership, and they have a rule that to work and be a salesman at this dealership, you cannot have a beard or a mustache. You've got to be clean shaven. They said, the Chevrolet dealership said, "We want to present a good image when we go to sell cars." I want to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. The church is the highest thing that's happening in the whole world. And the greatest standards in all the world ought to be in the church. But God says, "I got to go get my razor." This represented judgment. This represented God taking action. God said, "I've got to go get my razor. I got to, as Daddy would say, I got to go get my razor strap. As Mama would say, I got to go get my switch. As Mr. Moody would say, I got to go get my paddle." God said, "I've got to go get a razor." But you know what? When God began to look for a razor to bring judgment, he says, "I couldn't find one. I didn't have one." God said, "I started looking for a razor to bring judgment on the people. And I was going to punish them. But God said, I found out I don't even own a razor. I didn't make them to bring judgment on them." Hallelujah. And the Bible said he had to hire, Brother Morgan, the Assyrians to come in and bring judgment on his people. I'm talking about the day that God hired a razor because he didn't have one. Hallelujah. You think, well, God is just waiting to cast me into hell to laugh with glee. I tell you tonight, 10,000 times no. God wants you to be saved more than anything else in this whole world. Hallelujah. Come on, I said, God wants you to be saved. God will do anything to get you saved. God will send Simon Peter to Cornelius' house. God will send Philip in the middle of a desert. God will do whatever it takes. Hallelujah. And everybody here has got your story of how God brought you out of the miry clay of sin and put your feet on the solid rock. Hallelujah. It may surprise you to know that hell wasn't even made for you. When God made hell, He didn't have you in mind. Hallelujah. If I read the scripture right, Matthew 25:41 said that hell has been prepared for the devil and his angels, the fallen angels. Those that revolted and rebelled against God and were cast out of heaven. Are you listening tonight? Hell wasn't made for you. Oh, you say, well, good, I won't go then. You've got a choice tonight. Hell was made for Lucifer, Satan, the devil, and the fallen angels. But then I read later in Isaiah where it said, hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. You know why? Because of the multitudes that insist on disobeying God. And it brings the judgment of God. Friend, why would you want to go to a place that wasn't even designed for you in the first place? God doesn't want to punish you. You know, my daddy used to say, boy, I'm going to spank you now. I always hated to hear those words. But here's what he said, Brother Morgan. He said, but I want you to know something, son. I love you. And it's going to hurt me worse than it's going to hurt you. I didn't dare say it, but I thought it. Well, you know, if it's going to be that dad, bad on your dad, we could just call this whole thing off, you know. I mean, really, if it's going to hurt you that bad, let's just forget it. Praise God. If it's going to hurt you worse than it hurts me, I already see that razor staff, and I know it's going to hurt me, and it's going to hurt you worse than it hurts me. Let's just forget the whole thing. But I didn't say that, and I took my medicine. But I want to tell you something, that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Are you listening, friend? It's not God's will for one soul to go to hell. And if you go to hell, you're going to go over the mercy of God, over the grace of God, over the prayers of the church, over a pastor that loves you. Hey, it's time to wake up. If you go to hell, it's going to be because of your desire for sin in this world. God is not willing that any should perish. God will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. God don't want one soul to go to hell. Now you listen to this old-fashioned preacher tonight. We might be shouting right now. We're not shouting. But I want to tell somebody that when you disobey God, that God's not anxious to grab you up and give you immediate justice and judgment. God said, I decided after a long period of time I was going to deal with Judah. I decided I'd get my razor and I'd deal with them, which represents justice and judgment. But God said, I don't have one. In all of the arsenal of weaponry that I have, I couldn't find a razor. And I had to hire Assyria to come in and bring judgment against my own people. Oh, God. Young man, young lady, when you're listening to that ungodly rock music, and don't tell me it's all right to listen to rock music, it is not all right. Can I get a witness somewhere? I said, you know, if you've got one rock music tape or CD, you need to destroy it tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If you insist on listening to that rock music and that rap music and it's belching out lyrics that are totally ungodly and wicked, God's going to look around for a razor. Hallelujah. And when He finds out that He don't have one, He's going to borrow one. But judgment is coming. Mark it down. Three weeks ago tonight, a young married man came to me. And you know what? Brother Wallins, I've had people come and say, I got rid of my drinking. I got rid of my drugs. but I can't give up rock music. I've had them tell me that. I've given up cigarettes. I've given up drinking. I've given up drugs, but I can't get rid of rock music. 3 weeks ago tonight, young married man with a baby came to me after church and tears were flowing down his cheeks. And he said, Pastor, I noticed he had something real thick. And he handed them to me. He said, would you do something with these? And I said, what are they? And I looked, and it was a pile thicker than this of ungodly CDs. They were belching out wickedness. Amen. I asked the young man that's working with me, had he ever heard? He said, I've heard of them, some of them, and they are wicked and they are ungodly. He said, would you get rid of these for me? He said, God's talked to my heart. I watched him for weeks, and Anthony couldn't pray and he couldn't worship. But ever since that night, he's been up on the front row and he's been praising God and been shouting. Let me tell you something. That sin will sap your victory. That sin will steal your joy. That sin will steal your power. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you'll become a Laodicean church member. And that's not God's design for you. The same night. And it wasn't even anything said that I recall about the whole service. When the Spirit of God moves, it takes care of a lot of things. You know what I've learned in 38 and a half years of pastoring? God knew more with folks in 5 minutes than I can do with them in 5 years. The Holy Ghost moving. Young man came and handed me a card. He said, would you throw this away for me? I said, what is it? I looked at it and it said, Blockbuster. He said, would you throw this away for me? And I said, I sure will. And the next day I took the card and the CDs and I took them out to a dumpster and I threw them away. Hallelujah. You know what? Since that's happened, victory's come. Into these lives, victories come. Hallelujah. Don't wait for judgment to come. Don't wait till it's too late to pray. Don't wait till it's too late to get right with God. We need to get rid of sin tonight and pray tonight and repent tonight and seek God tonight and talk in tongues tonight and submit to the Holy Ghost tonight. Don't let God have to borrow a razor to bring judgment upon your life. God has, in the beginning, made no provision for our punishment. He doesn't even own a razor, so he has to hire one. Have you ever subcontracted a job out, somebody's contractor, and then you sub it out? God said, I've got a lot of love in me, and I've got a lot of mercy. I've got a lot of grace, and I've got a lot of patience, and I've got a lot of long-suffering, and I'll deal with you for a long time. But God said, when it comes to a razor, I don't have one. I don't own one. I don't even have one. I'll have to borrow it. God, in His nature, His very nature, exudes love and patience and mercy and kindness and gentleness and goodness and grace. But God has no sharp instruments of laceration. Hear me tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said, God has no sharp instruments of laceration. Glory to God. I remember years ago, I heard a story in Dyersburg, Tennessee. A young man about 20 years old came to church. He left the church and he was playing on the football team and brought some of his boys to a tent meeting in Dyersburg, Tennessee. They had a great service that night. This boy's face turned white as a sheet, the pastor said. And he was under conviction, and his hands would hold on to the pew, and his knuckles were white from the grip. And the Holy Ghost really touched him and dealt with him. And he wouldn't come, and he wouldn't pray. And he walked out from under the tent that night, and one of his buddies playfully just tapped him in the stomach and said, what's the matter with you? Called his name. And when he tapped him in the stomach, the boy fell over backwards, and they went to get him, and he was already dead. I'm telling you that my daddy told that story in Arvin, California. In Arvin, that happened in Dyersburg, Tennessee. My dad told that story in Arvin, California when Brother Maxwell was pastoring there. My dad preached for him and he told the story. And right during the altar service, a man stood up weeping and he said, Brother Godin, I was there that night. I saw it. I'm a living witness that what you're telling right now actually happened. I don't know why I feel what I feel tonight, but I feel in the close of this service, Brother Spell, Will you, brethren, come? Have you got it arranged? I feel like that God wants to help somebody tonight. I feel like God wants to deliver somebody tonight. Hey, King, would you be my razor for me? Hey, King, could I shove this job out to you? I don't have a razor. I don't have a discipline or a judgment to give to my people. Hey, King of Assyria, would you do this job for me? God's hired razor. My daddy had a razor strap and a razor. My mama had a switch. Mr. Moody had a paddle. But God said, I don't own a razor. And I really don't like to bring judgment on you. And the Heavenly Father is saying tonight, when I bring judgment on you, it hurts my heart more than it does yours. When somebody dies without God, 30-year-old young man was number two quizzer on America's number one quiz team in the late 80s from Durham, North Carolina. He was a good quizzer. He went to General Conference. He went to Cincinnati for a tournament. He went here and there. And I remember sending him, Brother Morgan, to Cincinnati. He didn't have the money to go. And I took it out of my pocket. I'm not bragging. I took it out of my pocket. And I gave him the money to go to the Cincinnati tournament to sharpen up his skills. And he went there. And he quizzed. But he got out of church a little while later. And he started running with the wrong crowd. And he started drugging. And he started drinking. And a week ago, last night, he drove a four-wheeler up in the old barn on his grandpa's 500-acre farm. He drove the four-wheeler up there, very carefully wrote out notes to his mother and his family, and put a gun to his head, a shotgun, and blew his brains out. Friday, I had to preach his funeral. One of the saddest funerals I've preached in a long time. And I saw him. Cute little back-headed boy. Very intelligent. Above average intelligence. But he got with the wrong crowd. And he got away from church and away from God. And I had to preach his funeral this past Friday. Oh, I wish it could have been different. I can't help but believe that my Heavenly Father wishes it had been different. Hallelujah. Did you know what? Don't wait till God has to bring judgment and correct you. Don't wait, young man, until it's too late and then try to pray. Young lady, hey, young couple, you've been rebelling against your pastor. It's time to cease the rebellion and say, you're the man of God in my life. I'm going to submit to your authority. I feel that in the Holy Ghost right now. I'm talking to somebody right now that in the corners of your own heart and the recesses of your own quietness, you've talked to your wife against a pastor. I'm coming here tonight and I feel it at this second to say it's time to repent and make it right with your pastor. Because what you're going to force God to do is have to look for his razor. And God says, don't have one, but I'll have to hire one. Because judgment has got to be meted out. Let's stand together right now. Let's all stand, please. A young man said to me, 17-year-old young man, Brother Wilson, he said to me a few months ago, he said, Brother Godair, I've been pastoring for 8 years. He said, what gives you the right to tell me what to do? 17 years old. And you know where he got that? He got it from a daddy that's rebellious. A daddy that claims the Holy Ghost won't be faithful. A daddy that won't pay tithes. A daddy that won't submit to apostolic authority. A daddy that won't submit to a preacher. And he looked at me and said, what gives you the right to tell me what to do? Please, I beg somebody tonight, in the name of the Lord, to walk down this aisle somewhere and stand here in prayer. Somebody in this building, I want everybody to breathe a prayer with me right now. Hallelujah. There's somebody needs to pray. There's sinners here tonight that need to repent and ask God to forgive your sins. There's folks here that need the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. There's folks that need to pray in this building. Whoa.